All right, you can gather back together. Again, my name is Dave. Excited to be worshiping with you this morning. Avery is going to be reading on faithfulness from 1 Peter 3. We have a sad baby. There's a sad baby. Mm-hmm.
Our scripture reading for today is from 1 Peter 3, 13 through 16. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason with the hope that is in you. Yet, do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. This is God's word.
Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Dear Father, we are thankful for your grace. We want to believe that it is okay when we suffer, it is even good when we suffer for righteousness' sake. And so would you give us strength this morning? Would you help us to think through our lives and with the Spirit call to mind the invitations that we have even today to continue to do good in the face of evil, to continue to do good in the face of waiting, believing that you are a keeper of promises, that you are faithful, and so we can be faithful. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I have really enjoyed reflecting on the fruit of the Spirit these past 2 months or so, and just framing the Christian life in terms of pursuit of the fruit of the Spirit. I think obedience and duty is not a chore when you think it is pursuing love and joy and peace and patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Who doesn't want more of those things in their life? Who doesn't want more of those things in their community and in the world? Most of us here are Christians, and so we pursue these in faith, but even if you aren't, these qualities are universally valued. More often than not, pursuing them intentionally will lead to your flourishing. And if you don't believe me, you can go to the nearest bookstore and you can find whole sections of leadership books inculcating these kinds of values in leaders. I'm thinking about Brené Brown's Dare to Lead, Leaders Eat Last by Simon Sinek, about servant-hearted leadership. Patrick Lencioni's books are really fantastic. I don't know if you've ever had to read those books. Lencioni lives here in the Bay Area and is himself a strong Christian, but he has made a lot of money and a hugely influential career smuggling in, frankly, gospel principles into executive suites. And people pay him big money to teach them how to be Christ-like and how being Christ-like can lead to flourishing. This week, though, I just happened to listen to a podcast interview of an author with a very different angle on leadership. Jenny Wood is a former Google exec, and she just published a book called Wild Courage: Go After What You Want and Get It. And it has 9 chapters touting 9 qualities necessary for success. I just realized there are 9 fruit of the Spirit. Well, she has 9 fruit of the Spirit that she wants to encourage. And according to her, you need to be weird, selfish, shameless, obsessed, nosy, manipulative, brutal, reckless, and bossy to be successful. Now, as you can imagine, those titles are really kind of provocative. She seemed like a very nice person on this podcast. I'm sure I would be happy to work for her based on how she seemed. But it does invite us to ask a question. What do we do when Christ's likeness isn't working? When living by grace through faith in Christ, when walking with the Spirit, when pursuing these fruits, pursuing love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, when faithful living not only doesn't work, but actually seems to cause us harm and keep us down? What do we do in those situations? In many ways, that disconnect is what today's fruit is all about. Because what is faithfulness? Faithfulness is the fruit you exhibit when the other fruits aren't working. If the other fruits are working, you don't really need faithfulness, right? If you're loving others and immediately receiving love back, amazing, right? If you're being honored and rewarded for your kindness and goodness, who needs faith? It's just a natural exchange. That's actually how our passage begins today, 1 Peter 3:13. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? Peter's saying most of the time, no one's going to be after you if you're a kind, loving, patient, self-controlled person. As a general rule, following Jesus, loving God, and loving others will lead to genuine this world blessing. And of course, it's natural for our minds to immediately fly to the edge cases when that isn't happening. But let's be honest, as a general rule, walking in the Spirit of Christ leads to genuine this world blessing. It's not a genie situation where you get everything you want, but we are genuinely blessed when we obey God. That's what that first set of leadership books illustrate. That's what the book of Proverbs is about. Success comes to the wise. Servant leadership, humility, kindness, being a non-anxious leader, all of these things will repay you. Because God is good, and because God created the universe good, being good ourselves is a way to live in line with creation. It's a reliable strategy for personal flourishing. It's a reliable strategy for societal flourishing. Who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? Which is why, if things aren't going well for us, if we are receiving harm, especially in interpersonal relationships, it's appropriate for us to first examine ourselves. We don't immediately blame the circumstances. We don't immediately blame others. We ask ourselves, am I being zealous for what is good in my friendships, in my marriage, in my home, at my school or workplace? Am I doing what I need to do here? But the book of 1 Peter wasn't written to people who needed to work harder at being good. These people weren't jerks. 1 Peter is written to faithful Christians, conforming themselves to Christ, who were nonetheless still suffering at the hands of others, both on a government level, at a familial level, at a work, at a workplace level. And because of that suffering, they were strongly tempted to just bail on being kind and good. And so Peter writes this letter, which is largely devoted to pleading with them to stick with kindness and goodness, stick with Christ and being like Christ. So while it's true, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. Believe me, says Peter, blessing is coming, but there is an interim period. For a time, our faith is being tested. Faithfulness is how we endure that interim period. Faithfulness is at heart remaining committed to loving God and loving others, even when it's not working, especially when it's not working. This tension often comes up for me in parenting. One shelf over from those leadership books is a whole nother shelf of parenting books, right? Pushing the same message of like love and kindness and grace. And then next to that is like Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mother, Bringing Up Baby, and all those sort of like other like severe parenting books, right? All of the books, both the gracious and more strict books, they appeal to a strong temptation in parenting, and that is viewing parenting as a formula. Do this and not that, and your kids will become what you want them to become. And maybe more tenderly, they won't become what you're afraid they'll become. Parents are scared for their kids as they grow older. Like, you're concerned for them. You want them to succeed, and you don't want them to fail. And so we do so much for them, and it's mostly admirable, except that it often comes with this expectation of outcome, right? We want a return on our investment. And I do that on a macro level, thinking about my kids' long-term future, thinking that my parenting decisions today will guarantee a long-term future. And I do it on a micro level, thinking that my parenting decisions today will give me like a quiet night at home or something small and petty. But the thing is, kids aren't math problems, which means formulas don't work. No outcome is guaranteed. You cannot know what will become of your children. Yes, generally speaking, parenting with the fruit of the Spirit, with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness, it will lead likely to good outcomes for your children. But even when it doesn't, God's call to generously love them, to sacrifice for our kids, to love them wisely, to consistently show grace and patience and goodness, that isn't a parenting strategy. It's not a formula. It is simply the right thing to do. We do it because it honors God who loved us this way, and it speaks the truth even when we're not sure they're listening. Generally speaking, it leads to good outcomes. It blesses you and your children, but even when it does it, we are still called to obey. And that's what faithfulness is. That's what faithfulness produces in us, is the strength to continue good even when it's not working. On particular discouraging days, though, it's easy for me to think I need a new strategy. Screw grace. Grace is not working. Love isn't working. The gospel isn't working. And so in that moment, I'm tempted to revert to old ways, to find new ways. I need more rules, more limits, more plans, more stuff. But 1 Peter assures me, when you suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. The gospel always works. Grace is always at work, even when we don't see it. God is working. The gospel always offers hope and help. It remains true and effective, even when we feel that our children aren't responsive. In fact, it's in those not working moments when my kids most need me to continue exhibiting love and joy, peace and patience, goodness and kindness and gentleness and self-control. That's what it means to be faithful, to be consistent, to be constant, to be trustworthy, to be a promise keeper. No matter what someone else does to me, no matter how good or bad my day has gone, no matter if the season changes, faithfulness is me keeping my promises, fulfilling my responsibilities, staying true to the ways of God and grace, honoring Christ in my heart as holy, and sharing with others the hope that I have, no matter my circumstance. We leave the outcome to God. He is the way maker, not me. Where do you need the Spirit to give you faithfulness? Is parenting teenagers for me? What is it for you? Which relationship or circumstance comes to mind? Situations that test your resolve to love well and to love reliably. Is it parenting little ones? Is it marriage? Is it dynamics with siblings or parents back home, colleagues at work or school? Where you're putting in your part, you feel like you are zealous for doing good, but you don't feel like you're getting much back in return. Is it your relationship with God himself, where you feel like you're obeying him, you're striving to keep his commandments, to pray often and read his word? You're trying to remain pure, to be diligent, to give and serve, but not much is changing. And so you're thinking about trying a new strategy or trying a new faith, a new God altogether. A qualification when we talk about faithfulness isn't rigidity. While we are never given permission to be unfaithful, to participate in evil, there is always permission to change strategies in relationship, to renegotiate boundaries. You can be faithful and still do that. Sometimes that's actually what needs to happen in a relationship, not so that we can stop loving, but so that we can continue loving, so that we can be faithful. So you might need to make changes in your relationship with your kids, with your parents, with a friend. That's not unfaithfulness. Like I said, we are right to question ourselves, not only looking for sin, but seeking wisdom and knowledge. And so you might need to adjust your stance, even increase your distance with someone. What could that look like within the bounds of faithfulness to God as a parent, as a spouse, as a church member or coworker? I think about this as a citizen of the United States. All of us are wrestling with faithfulness as we read the news. What are we responsible to God for as residents of San Francisco? It is such a baffling time in American culture and politics. Do I keep doing the same thing I did before, I've always done? Do I need to adjust? What does it mean to be faithful to God in dizzying circumstances? What preserves my trust in Jesus and the gospel faith once for all delivered to the saints? That is the same. How can I be the same? I wonder if one way to think about our spiritual need for faithfulness is our physical need for a muscular skeletal system. That's what faithfulness provides. Without a spine, without bones and joints and muscles, I am both highly vulnerable and no good to anybody. I cannot be any help to you if I have no spine. But strong bones and strong muscles enable me to thrive, to support others, to endure hardship, to hold fast to Christ. Even so, within faithfulness, within strength, there is this range of motion. There is a flexibility that I have, room to pivot, freedom to change, depending on my position in the body of Christ. It's not rigid, though. It's not stubborn, but strong. And what is that strength? What is the substance of faithfulness? Like all the fruits of the Spirit, the source of faithfulness is our belonging in Christ. It's His love that enables our love. It's His peace that enables our peace. And it's His faithfulness that enables our faithfulness. The reliability of God's great love for us frees us to reliably love others. If God is for us, who can be against us? God's love is the source of our strength. When I forget God's love, I become afraid for myself. And so it's no wonder that I cave under pressure. I seek for other sources of strength. It's no wonder I bail on my promises to my kids, find other strategies that feel within my power. But when I remember God's love and God's power, the sure promise of His blessing, I am able to endure. He is always with me, freeing me to love without fear. I can often feel like faithfulness is limiting, that as I've gotten older and just it feels like the responsibilities get heavier and heavier and bigger and bigger, and it can feel like I'm bound by my responsibilities to my kids, to my wife, to my church. And I don't know if you feel that way, like it would be better if I was unattached, that that's where freedom is. But the reality is that faithfulness is what is freeing, because it means that my relationships are not determined by the response of other people. I don't need to think too much about how people respond or don't respond, about my circumstances, because my blessing doesn't depend on them. I'm just going to love, to be faithful to love, and let God handle the outcome. Have no fear of them, Peter says, or be troubled. Don't be troubled by that. Just continue pursuing the fruits of the Spirit. Continue pursuing the Lord. Continue being a person of integrity who keeps their promises. But the only way that I can experience that freedom in faithfulness is after I remember God's faithfulness to me. And so consider, on a beautiful day, God's great faithfulness to you. How He has loved you, and He loves you still. Think over your life. How has He moved in your life? How is He even moving now? How He's promised to restore to you every good thing that's ever been taken from you. You are His child. He is a faithful Father to you, despite your moodiness with Him, my moodiness, my on-again, off-again affection, my mistrust or anger, my distractedness. He has loved me even when my heart has wandered away from Him for days, weeks, even years at a time. He has never stopped loving you. Since before the foundation of the world, Ephesians says, in love he predestined you for adoption to himself through Jesus Christ. Romans says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Though the wages of sin is death, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, how much more will we be saved by his life? And by the Spirit of life, which lives in us and goes everywhere we go. Even when we fail to be faithful, he is always there. That's the power of grace. Not only does the reliability of God's faithfulness allow me to faithfully love others, God's faithfulness allows me to fail. And it's okay. I'm all the time failing my kids. I'm all the time failing you and failing the Lord. But even in failure, I know that the good of others doesn't depend on me. In my failure, I have the opportunity to point to Jesus who never failed. Christ suffered once for sins, 1 Peter 3 says. And that means that any suffering I'm experiencing is not punishment for sin. Christ suffered once for sins on the cross, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. And it will happen. He is perfectly good, perfectly faithful. So I don't have to be. But I am free to joyfully, peacefully, zealously try. And because of Jesus, I will be blessed for trying. Let's pray. Dear Father, we are thankful for your faithfulness. We're thankful for your goodness, even in the face of our sin. Because of your great love, because of your grace, because of the infinite righteousness of Jesus, we have a backstop. We have a cosigner on our life that allows us to be recklessly zealous for doing good, even in the face of evil. Earlier in 1 Peter 3, Peter says to us, do not repay evil for evil, but repay evil with good. Father, I pray for each of us. I pray particularly for those who are in especially trying relationships. Would you give them the strength, the miraculous strength, to repay evil with good? In the same way that Jesus responded to us in our sin, he repaid it with good. He gave us love. He gave us grace. Help us to do that for others as well. Give us wisdom on how to do it, as we maybe need to renegotiate boundaries, change strategies, but help us to never abandon love. Help us to never abandon good. We love you. Thank you for always loving us. We rest on your love. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.